Let's pray. Lord, as we turn now to your word, we pray that you would open it to us, that you would help us to understand it, that you would help me to speak of it, and that, Lord, you would help us to be challenged by it and to hear your voice speaking to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was a lovely, warm summer evening in August 1978. We were staying overnight on a campsite in the southwest coast of France, somewhere south of Rochefort, and we were heading towards Spain. There was a minibus load of us. We were travelling with the OMS Missionary Society on a sort of mission experience holiday. We were young people, late teens, early 20s mainly, and we were going down to Spain to see what it was like to be a missionary. And down there we'd have opportunities to meet missionaries, to talk with missionaries, to do some practical work on the holiday centre they had up in the conference centre they had up in the mountains near Madrid. And we had the opportunity to go onto the streets of Madrid and to give out some gospel leaflets. But as we sat around on the campsite in a circle that lovely, warm summer evening in August 1978, an experienced missionary spoke to us from Romans chapter 10, and verses 14 and 15, where Paul wrote these words. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful on the feet are the feet of those who bring good news. And he expounded those words to us. And of course, in the immediate context, Paul is speaking, of course, about God's and Paul's concern for the Jewish people. Yet, in a sense, it's God's concern for all people. And it's still so today, that there are people who are blind who need to hear the message of the gospel. And so this missionary challenged us as we were heading to Spain on the situation in Spain, where we were heading to a land that was full of a people trapped in a traditional Roman Catholicism. Although things were starting to open up there and churches were starting to be founded after years of repression, but it was a land in many ways in spiritual darkness. It was a land in need of the true and saving gospel, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to save those who put their trust in him. And so we were challenged that night. And so we should be challenged in the same way today. That there is still today a world in rebellion against God. There's a desperate need for people to find purpose and meaning to life. There's a desperate need today for people to realise that the only hope they have for this life and for eternity is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can search after all sorts of things, but if they look in the wrong direction, they won't find the thing which they need. So in Romans chapter 10, it's not what we're going to speak about this evening. That's really by way of introduction. But it sets an historical situation there where God is concerned for his people. But we're going to look tonight in Acts chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 6 to 10, and we'll see how God guided then in the spread of the gospel, how God had his message taken out to the lands where there was great need. This was Paul's Macedonian call. Beatrice's had a sort of Macedonian call recently. Apparently we've had a contact from Bulgaria saying could we help them set up some sort of Beatrician work there. And it's fantastic the way we spread the work into so many countries over the years. I don't know what will come of that. But a sort of a Macedonian call. But Paul had a call to Macedonia over there in the Balkans. And as we look at that tonight, we see that God sends particular workers to where he wants them, particular people to a particular place to do a particular specific task. And I've just got two headings this evening, and they're these. When God says no, and when God says go. Sometimes God says no, you can't do that, but other times he says go and gives us the work to do. And we read here in Acts 16, These verses how the Holy Spirit forbade Paul and his companions from going to certain places and doing certain things. They wanted to go into Asia, and then they wanted to go into Bithynia. But in verse 6, the Holy Spirit would not let them go. In verse 7, we read the Spirit of Jesus forbade them. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus are one and the same. It was God saying, no, this is not the place for you to go. It wasn't that they were wanting to go anywhere and do anything bad. Their hearts were absolutely in the right place. They were committed. They were dedicated to doing the work of God. But on this occasion, they'd have been the wrong people in the wrong place at the wrong time, because God had a particular task for them to do elsewhere. God had prepared before eternity, in eternity past, God had prepared a place, a job for these men to go and to do. Their motive was pure. Their motive was to make Christ known. That should be our great desire in life. It should be to make Christ known. But God had other plans for them, to speak of him elsewhere. What they wanted to do was good, but not what God wanted at that time. And of course we know in life, don't we, sometimes the good is the enemy of the better, and the better can be the enemy of the best. In other places, Paul and his companions would not have been the right people for that particular job. So God forbade them to go to certain places because he had another plan for them. He had another place for them. He was sending them over into Europe, bringing the gospel into Europe, over the Adriatic Sea, over into Macedonia. But it was only revealed to them after they had been obedient to God's leading. It was only after they got to Troas, the other opportunities were closed to them, they maybe wonder, what's God saying to us? Why is this happening? Why doesn't he want us to do a particular thing? But he leads them to Troas. And it's only when they get there that God gives them the plan. You see, these television programs where people are given a particular challenge to do, and they have to go to a particular place. It's only when they get there, like on, what was the Treasure Hunt, where they used to fly on the helicopter, wasn't it? And they used to be given a certain challenge, a certain place, or Top Gear, where they go to a certain place and get a message. Now you have to do a certain thing. It's only when they get there, not knowing what's going to happen, that they set the challenge. And God set a challenge, God set a task before his men, his missionaries here at Troas. And so it asks a question for you and to me. Are you and I open to God's leading? Even when it doesn't seem clear to us. Even when it doesn't seem to make sense. So we say, Lord, what are you saying to us? I know an ex-minister at a church in the northeast. He's felt called by the Lord to come into work in the northeast. And his church has sent him up here as an outreach worker. And he's coming along for church, not quite sure what God's plans were. And they're now starting to unfold. Sometimes we need to go out in faith. You know, we see a genuine need. And it can be hard to realise that that genuine need is not the right thing for us to tackle, because God wants somebody else to do that. It's not the right job. Others maybe have more experience to do that particular task, have more appropriate skills. But God does have a job for you. God has earmarked something for you to do. God has earmarked you to do something for which he has gifted you. And it doesn't mean that you're a preacher, an evangelist, or a minister, or whatever. But you can be the person who can just get alongside someone. The person who can write letters. The person who can befriend somebody. Little tasks. Little practical jobs to do in the church. I'm sure I've said this before, but I do remember her so fondly. A lady called Joyce in our church I used to go to when I was a teenager, late teens. And she was, educationally, she had some learning difficulties. But she was the best person in the church with the cups of tea and the vacuum cleaner. Not at the same time, but she could do those two fantastic jobs. And the Lord used her. So never think, I can't do this particular task. I'm not extrovert. I'm not the person who stands up and does it. God can't use me. God has a task for each and every one of you. So I look here, how many of us are here this evening? 30 maybe? There are 30 tasks waiting to be done tonight. We need to seek God's opening as to what they are. God will use your experience, your background, your temperament, your age. Some of us are getting past the stage of running around doing so much. I'm going to a stage now, my late 50s, where I desperately need young team members who can run games on beach missions. And I just sort of hobble down to the beach and chat to people. So some of you signed up. Thank you, Michael. I know you're going to do a good job with the games this year. But, you know, the Lord's got something for us to do. It's difficult, though, to know how the Holy Spirit says no. Sometimes we need to be open, know how we can be open to making sure we get that right message. How did the Holy Spirit say no to Paul and his companions? We don't know. Was it a word of prophecy from someone? Was it the inward speaking of the Spirit, some inner feeling, a conviction of what they were to do? Was it circumstances that were set before them, hindrances that were there? As we see, the Holy Spirit closes doors as well as opens doors. Was it Paul's health? We know the thorn in the flesh. Maybe that's why in verse 10, Dr. Luke has come down there to join with them because of Paul's health problems. And Luke's brought into play. We don't know, do we, for sure. But we do know this, that any guidance to do, any guidance not to do, must be not contrary to the word of God. And there's some things it's quite clear the Bible says we must and mustn't do. They're not the areas we're looking for guidance on. It's things where it could be the right thing, but not for us people at that particular time. And so God sometimes says no. He closes doors as well as opens doors. And we need to be open to God, to see him, even in the unexpected and the undesired elements of our life. Something's come our way that we wish hadn't, that we don't want them to happen. We wish they hadn't happened. But sometimes, even through circumstances, I know that this year, through circumstances, the Lord even now can open up doors. And now for Paul and his companions, having gone on in faith, all now is to be made clear. They've got to Troas. They've been stopped from going to certain places. And now in verse 9, Paul has a vision in the night. I remember once we were on beach mission, we had a vision in the night. It was somebody left a hairdryer plugged in, it blew up in the night. There were big flashes in the night, and the minister called the electrician out at great cost and found nothing on the electrics. It was somebody's hairdryer blown up. It wasn't that sort of vision in the night, but Paul had a vision, a word from God that he was to do a particular task. Because he saw in his vision in the night, in his dream, whatever, he saw a man from Macedonia speaking to him, saying, come over and help us. And God can speak in all sorts of ways. We can't restrict God. But a word of caution, we need to be aware of those excessive, unreasoned emotion that doesn't really think things through clearly or look to the Bible. And we need to be careful we don't get drawn into the emotionalism. At the same time, we need to make sure we are open when God speaks to us. See, Jesus once said to Peter, did he not? To get behind me, Satan. You see, Peter was speaking, but it was really the devil speaking through Peter. And so the advice that Peter was giving was the wrong advice to Jesus. So we do need to be open, we need to be clear, we need to seek God's clear guidance. But now this call has come, now this call is clear. The vision of a man telling them from across the sea, calling across from Troas to Macedonia, come over and help us. Don't know whether you've ever stood on the round on the Kent coast on a clear day and you can see France and you can see maybe that's where we should be. The Gerald Crispin, one of the early leaders in beach missions who started the work over on the continent, was leading a beach mission, he said, in Folkestone one day, and he looked across the channel, saw it there, and he said, that's where we ought to be. And so the vision grew to go across there and start the work over on the continent. When we were in Northern Ireland on holiday a few weeks ago, I was the person in the whole of Ireland nearest to Scotland. I was standing on this headland, which is nearer than anywhere else to the Mull of Kintyre in Scotland, 12 miles away, and you could see across clearly. And, you know, maybe this is the sort of vision that Paul has. He sees across clearly, sees someone calling him, saying, come over and help us. What could it mean, help us? What help can we give to people? What better help can we give to people than to afford them the grace of the gospel? Did the Macedonian know what he was asking for? I don't know, but God knew. And God had put it in his vision, this Paul and his companions, to go over there with the gospel. So there's a time when God says no. He closes doors because he opens doors. But secondly, the opposite of no is that God says go. God says go. And firstly we see, who was the man who called for help from Macedonia? How could Paul and his companions act if they were not made aware of the need? And God left them in no doubt there was a need. Here was a moment of destiny. Here was a moment of destiny in Paul's ministry. Here was a moment of destiny in the spread of the gospel. Here was the gospel spreading now over into Europe. Great opportunities lay ahead. A continent lay ahead. And in more recent years, missionaries have found, have they not? The whole land of continent of Africa has opened up. South America, Asia, a world opening up to the gospel. We have heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves, but we're to go and to spread that good news all around. And so he's called there into Europe. It's a great moment of destiny for the gospel. Historically and geographically, there have continued to be great leaps for the gospel then in the world today. God continues to be at work. Isn't that great to know that the God who worked here in the Bible is the God who continues to work today? And the gospel has not yet reached every language, nation, and people group in the world. There are tribal peoples who are still in need of the gospel, where the language is not known, where the opportunity is not there, and there are missionaries trying to open up these last frontiers, as it were, with the gospel. There is still a Macedonian call. It might be an African call, American call, whatever, but there's a call to open up the opportunity. Paul has his vision in the night. But who was this man of Macedonia? Well, Scripture does not elaborate. Conjectures have been made. Some have suggested maybe it was Luke. We believe Luke did come from over there. And maybe it was Luke now who had just come down and joined with Paul. It was maybe Luke who's now saying in this vision, back over to Milan, come over to Macedonia. That's why at this point in Acts, it's not he did that with Paul, but we did that, because Luke, the writer of Acts, is now there with Paul. Maybe he was the one in the vision. If that was the case, he would be an ideal companion to go over to Macedonia, for he would know the area. He'd know the geography, the language, the people, the temperaments, and so on. The great opportunities that Luke could help with. Could that have been the cause of Paul's illness, the thorn in the flesh? Was that to bring Luke alongside to do this work? We know that all things, whatever they are, work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When things happen in life that we don't understand, things happen in our life that we don't like, there might be a long-term reason that will only be revealed later. It was only when they got to Troas that God revealed the plan. It takes patience. It takes faith to wait on the Lord when the going is tough. Was it Luke? We don't know. Another suggestion has been that it was the great leader Alexander the Great. He was the one man who succeeded in conquering the world. And a call for Christians was and still is today that we are to conquer the world for Jesus. As the hymn says, the whole wide world for Jesus, this shall our watchword be. Upon the highest mountain, down by the widest sea, the whole wide world for Jesus, to him shall all men bow, in city or in prairie, the world for Jesus now. The whole wide world for Jesus, the whole wide world, proclaim the gospel tidings through the whole wide world. Light up the cross of Jesus, his banner be unfurled, till every tongue confess him through the whole wide world. Sadly, we couldn't find that in the hymn book for tonight, but there's a great hymn. Lots of things happened designed to make Paul remember Alexander, perhaps. There in Troas, it was full of Alexandrian, it was known as, full name was Alexandrian Troas, named after Alexander. Just across the sea from there was Philippi, named after Alexander's father, Philip. Further on was Thessalonica, called after Alexander's half-sister. And there are places, and all these places we've heard of in the book of Acts. The district was permeated with the memories of Alexander. Alexander was the man who'd said his aim was to marry the east to the west and so make one world. We are called to unite the world in the gospel, the conquering power of King Jesus. So the vision of the man who conquered the world may have given Paul a new impulse towards moving on to make the world one for Christ. And of course, another possibility is the man in the vision simply cannot or was never intended to be identified. He was just an individual calling from Macedonia. And I like it when scripture often doesn't make clear who a person is, because in that sense it opens up the idea that it could be any one of us. It's not just the big, the powerful, the well-known that God calls and uses, but it could be any one of us that he uses. We're just ordinary, unidentified individuals. In the world's picture, we're nobodies. Who's ever heard of me? Who's ever heard of you? But God has, and God has a plan for each of us. And so there we have it, that God says to go, and there's the man who gives that vision, who calls from Macedonia. But let's look at the man who took the gospel. Let's look at Paul. Because now in recent events, was starting to make sense to Paul. He was starting to understand now why God had said, no, you can't go here and you can't go there. The picture is starting to become clear. And for him and his companions to go to Macedonia and so advance the gospel into Europe, the hindrance has become clear. You know, there are many great men of the past, missionaries of the past, who hindrances were set before them and they didn't understand why. But God had his purpose. Did you know that David Livingstone, the great missionary to Africa, had wanted to go to China, but God closed that door and sent him to Africa? William Carey, the great missionary to India, had wanted to go initially to Polynesia. Adoniram Judson set off for India, but God directed him to Burma. God has people for each job. Now, I'm not suggesting I want to compare myself or you with these great names like Livingstone, Carey and Judson. But God has a job for each of us. And Paul, his job now is that he wants to reach, he thought, a few cities in his own region. But God had bigger plans for him. God's plan was that he should reach not just a few cities, but that Paul should reach a new continent. That Paul should be the one who spearheads the gospel into Europe. God knows what he has in store for us and what he's planning and preparing for us. Paul was to go to the first century needs of Macedonia and to the needs of the ancient world in general. We know Macedonia is like anywhere else. It's full of false gods. It was full of immorality. It's like so many places today. A world is full of false gods. Not just the gods of Allah and all these big religions, but the false gods of materialism and atheism. And these have to be challenged. So Macedonia is just like our world today in so many ways. Today, there are 21st century needs. But in a sense, what's changed? See, the outer casing has changed. But inside, the principles are the same. And the same principles still apply, as we say, false gods, immorality, and so on. And that's true of each age in between Macedonia and today. And to each age comes the universal need for the gospel. And in each age, God has risen up his men and women to spread that gospel. But note the immediacy of Paul's response. What does Paul do? When he hears that message, when he gets that vision in the night, he doesn't put it off. It says, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. He saw the call and he responded. Sometimes we feel a very direct call to do something for the Lord. Perhaps via prayer, through Bible reading, through conversations with people, through circumstances and so on. We don't want to act on whim, without guidance, and so we seek the Lord. Might be a coinciding instance that makes us seek after him. The call may be the result of a growing conviction over time. It's been said a call to ministry, to full-time work, should only be accepted when we feel we can do nothing else. When we feel we are so constrained and convicted and overpowered, that's what we have to do. And be obedient, we must, to the call of God. Sometimes we prevaricate in our obedience. We say, let's pray about something. And that's very, very wise and the right thing to do. We seek God's guidance. But we need to be careful we don't make this prayer a spiritual veneer for doing nothing. Can happen. We need to be able to discern, with God's help, when the time for praying is over. Well, not over, we still carry on praying. But when the time for just prayer is over and time for action begins. When you know what you must do, you need to get up and you need to do it. Sorry, when I know what I'm as well, when we know what we must do, we need to get on and do it. This is not just true of some dramatic or call to full-time service. It's a call to each of us. Whatever our circumstances, we can all do something for the Lord. We can all, every one of us can do something for the Lord. Do you know today? Today is the most important day of your life. Because you see, yesterday's gone. You can't bring back the past lost opportunities. We can only seek to redeem the time, but what's gone is gone. We can only resolve to do something for the Lord now, to redeem the time. Tomorrow, well, that may not be. The suddenness of illness and imminence of death can put a stop to our future plans. I have plans for the future. I know what I feel I should be doing for the future. I know when I want to retire with all these plans in mind. But the Lord may have something different. Today, while it's still called today, you and I can serve the Lord as we are able, with our abilities that we have. Our circumstances will be different. Depends on our age, our health, our skills and so on. As I said, running around a beach this summer may not be everybody's thing, may not be your thing, though we can use people to come and cook for us and jobs like that. But there's lots of things to do for the gospel. So in conclusion, today, people of God, you and me, let us arise, let us hear the call of God, let us hear that Macedonian call from somewhere near or far. Can you hear God calling, telling us what we need to do? Can you discern when God is saying no, but when God is saying yes, when God is saying go? And when God does say go, when God does say yes, will you share the good news of the gospel in whatever way you can? Oh, there's a lost and a sad world out there. You and I have the answer. How selfish to keep it to ourselves. God sometimes says no, but for every time he says no, there will be a go and a job for you and I to do. May God help us to do it for his glory. Amen.